Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
We are back for some more of this NXT TakeOver. We're in Dallas. God, I love Dallas. God, I wish being... I miss being able to go to America and drink Lone Star beer in Texas.
I've been absolutely... I was reading a very moving article in The Guardian about a young man who found out that he had terminal cancer.
And I think quite a lot of people in my life have read that, as if to... I don't know why they keep telling me about it. Like I'm a cautionary tale.
He did have a lovely bit where he was saying, you know, the important thing is to have a very full life. And this, I mean, look, it's not reinventing the wheel. We're not saying that this is some kind of great in-depth thing. But this is someone who is facing death and just going, actually, here's the stuff that I think, you know, seems to me to be true.
Yeah.
One of the things he mentioned again and again was just the ability to travel.
NXT.
You know?
NXT in Texas.
So he said, do not watch WrestleMania 32. He said, but he was talking about travel and it's really... reading that, I was like, oh, that's, you know, that is that breaks my heart that, you know, he knows that that part of his life is over, traveling. And I was also thinking, it is sort of awful where if someone said to me, you know, that's happening to you, I would go, well, I'm fucking stuck here. I can't get away.
Yeah.
I've lost a year of going away. And I know that must be really hard for you because you love going away.
Oh, I discovered traveling places when I was 32.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why didn't I do this in my 20s?
Yeah.
When I could get away with going to places like Thailand and Bangkok without looking like a fucking deviant. I like kayaking as much as the bet next man.
Is that what you call it these days? Crikey. But it does happen. Oddly, watching some of these shows, it's just seeing those the crowds. And I have watched a lot of stuff and just thought, why didn't I fucking just go to this? Why didn't I just go to this? Why did I hold back? Why did I, you know?
Then you remember you got a kid. Got a wife.
Look, you can get people to look after them. I know this for a fact. If you leave them somewhere without any identification, the state have to look after them.
Legally have to.
I reckon I could come back
unless
after 4 weeks.
People seem very annoyed about that.
Don't they just?
Don't they just?
That was a good political point. I did not see that coming, and enjoyed it.
Wow.
No, I really enjoyed it.
Fine.
When you said in a boat, I was just like, oh, that would be really irresponsible. And I was like, I was just going to leave him on the road. But no, that is really irresponsible. But no, you were making a very good point.
I was thinking about my kayak again.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing that. We have our little early NXT tradition that you begin getting at the big shows,
right,
which is where they introduce you to a big international star who has just signed with NXT. They don't mention they've signed. And often this is the first time you actually see them on television. Although it often breaks, obviously, within wrestling sort of circles and the newsletters.
Can't get away with hiding it. Yeah.
No, and here you have Kota Ibushi, who was one of the great sort of hard-hitting, high-flying, just general all-round amazeball performers of their generation.
I did a little Google, one of the Golden Lovers with Kenny Omega.
He is indeed. Golden Lovers. He is indeed. I had a Golden Lovers t-shirt on when we went to see Ring of Honor a while back.
Nice.
And a man came up to me and he went, he said, does that say Golden Lovers on your t-shirt? I said, yeah. He said, cool t-shirt. I don't think he knew it was necessarily a tag team, but he liked it. Anyway, we've been going out for 2.5 years now.
Your t-shirt at the Loving Spoonful. Great t-shirt.
Does your t-shirt say Mungo Jerry? I wish, mate. This Kota Ibushi would actually never then go on to sign a contract with NXT.
Oh, did
no.
he do it?
He took part in the Cruiserweight Championship tournament.
But right.
Having they were very keen to have him sign, yeah. but I think after a while he was a bit like,
"Who was there? I'm not on it."
He'd seen how some other people had sort of ended up through the yeah. system, mm-hmm. you know, and I think he was a little bit like, "Well, I'll take my chances on where I'm an A-lister somewhere else." And he has continued to be a huge A-lister for New Japan.
Yeah.
They have downtown Dallas, and the one thing that is funny about this, which you wouldn't have noticed at the time, is they have one of their sort of great big, you know, towers that's got lights, a big ball of lights,
yeah.
and it does look like a fucking, like, you know, a big We Worship COVID sort
like,
of.
Oh, it does look like a big COVID.
It really yeah, did. Yeah, yeah. Is that a famous Dallas
Good
thing?
Show. I don't know. I've only been, downtown's, there's a bit up top that's a bit hipstery that I've been, that every time I've been in Dallas, I'll go there. But downtown's just a bit of a miss. It's a bit like downtown Houston. It's like, I take or leave that, to be honest.
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's one of the few places that... So Alex Zane and I went to Houston for WrestleMania 25.
Because WrestleMania was at the top near the airport, wasn't it? It was near Fort Worth.
That's right, yeah. And it was... I mean, that was one of the few places where Alex had hair that was, you know, to his shoulders. If that.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a topic of conversation that did not get exhausted for the week we were there.
Well, she's around wrestlers as well. He clearly wasn't a wrestler, that's why.
No, that he was very clearly not a wrestler.
The Slender Man.
There's a shadow walking. we go to the second match, which is Austin Aries versus Baron Corbin.
Mm.
Austin Aries, the greatest man who ever lived. It's if you're going to have like a nickname, 100% go big. Go fucking big. And I love it. I absolutely love it because I think in wrestling quite a lot, you hear these things again and again and they lose their strangeness. And when that came out, I just thought, why is Pete making this? A man comes out. I'm the great. Here he is. Please welcome the greatest man who ever lived, Austin Aries. Like something a child would come
it
up
It sounds
with.
Like the fattest man who ever lived because the greatest used as a unit of space.
True.
Yeah, like he's the greatest man who ever lived. And like... Austin Aries in Sonny's looks like a B-Jams Batista.
Yeah.
Like he looks really Batista until he takes his glass off and he doesn't look anything like
he
him.
He also looks like if you were watching a biopic of, say, Keith Moon, and there'd be the guy who was playing Ollie Reed.
Yes.
And you're sort of a bit like, I'm looking at Ollie Reed at the bar. I mean, his head's barely over the thing's just sort of a wrong shape. But he's funny, Austin Aries. He has a lot of incredible sort of intensity, and he's so crisp in the ring.
Mm.
And largely all of that is forgotten because apparently he's a nightmare behind the scenes. And certainly on Twitter, he is also full of conspiracy theories about vaccination and anti-COVID and don't wear masks.
Time. Right, yeah.
You know, it must be exhausting. again, this is his debut match in NXT. He is a hugely well-seasoned independent performer. He was the first ever multi-time Ring of Honor World Champion.
Mm.
He was in Impact. He was an X Division Champion, which is sort of their high flying sort of lighter weight belt, but absolutely thrillingly exciting division that was at times. And he's currently signed with Major League Wrestling. I'm going to give you three little facts about him. One, he has the Chinese character Ram. That's his tattoo on his arm.
Isn't that a Paul McCartney album?
It is, yes. He is that? Paul McCartney's illegitimate son in WWE. Stands for, because it's the sign of the sheep is Aries.
Right.
The ram.
Okay, so
that's his ring name and his zodiac sign.
Nice.
My favourite fact about him is prior to working for WWE, he actually provided the voice for the main character of Jacob Cass in the Road to WrestleMania mode of WWE 2012's video game.
That is just confusing. He was another wrestler. He wasn't in the
game. He was already a wrestler. He played the, if you like, your you know, your Road to WrestleMania. Jacob Cass.
Okay, I've seen those cutscenes where
Jacob Cass, walking around here, going to stomp a model in your ass. Yeah. It's that sort of thing.
Triple H going, you wanted to do a title shot? Well, you got to find a beat with this vending machine. Okay,
here in the WWE, you got to prove that you're all that. But Austin Aries was the one who would go, so, will you give me a shot? That was the bit that he did.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Quite sweet.
Yeah.
And he's also a vegan. That's a big thing. He's written a whole book about how to sort of, you know, have a vegan lifestyle and still be a sort of, you know, quite an elite athlete. Interesting thing, this. I was... reading some stuff about like his conspiracy theories and things. And someone did mention something which I actually thought, do you know, that's sort of one of those things that I'll never forget. Because I think there's some truth in it.
Right.
And they were a vegan and they said, what is it with so many people who are into conspiracy theories being vegan? That right. isn't a conspiracy theory.
Right.
But she was like, it's almost like if you care enough about the world and, you know, you think there are alternatives,
yeah.
you immediately go, that also means that illnesses are fake and
yes.
that vaccines aren't, because everything that the world tells us can be done differently and
yeah.
is wrong.
Yeah.
I was like, I've met quite a few vegans. I met a vegan the other day who I know, who's a bus driver.
Right.
And he went doesn't to give me a hug. He went to give me a hug and I went, oh, I don't even know him that well. And I went, oh, I said, we'd probably do the elbow thing, shouldn't we? Ah. And he went, I don't believe it. He said, you know, you can call me like a conspiracist or whatever. He said, but I think it's been put there by probably some kind of global organization to just try and drive people apart.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I think I might call you a conspiracist. Very strange.
Interesting. I know. Yeah. I've not really sort of noticed that correlation, but yeah.
I've always liked vegans.
Mm.
Now there's a sliver of doubt has crept in.
But they're opting out of opting out with a certain amount of scientific heft behind them as well.
Let,
so say, look,
let
we're not
me
gonna...
tell you something, Rockefeller.
You red pill or blue
you
pill?
And your type of the people who have opted out. You've opted out of what you know to be right with your steaks and your masks.
I had a vegetarian steak yesterday. It wasn't. It was improved with peppercorn sauce, but it was unspeakably poor.
Was it fake meat?
It was fake meat, but it wasn't even trying to. It was just like, we're not even going to make this taste like a mushroom. We're going to make this drier than mushroom.
I don't mind vegetarian food, but I would say it's when you try and go, we're going to make this like something else. What is wrong with garlic butter on something?
I love a vegetarian sausage. I love vegetarian corn bacon is unthinkable. But they're getting better. The meat patties for the burgers, fine.
No
excellent.
One would have said that Greggs would be at the forefront of this.
No,
I know we've mentioned Greggs before.
Greggs, the meat-free Mondays, you can do it.
Yep.
Paul McCartney move. you can do it right now, please. The Greggs sausages are delicious.
They are.
They are. They. You sort of go, why did I need that meat in the first place?
Exactly. And it's also the way that you win hearts and minds, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you, if it had started off and it was like Waitrose are doing it, you'd go, stick it up your fucking elitist asses. But Greggs doing it,
yeah.
You're like, oh, it's all right. I like Greggs.
How do they make a meat-free pepperami? That is when I sort of go, I get into the pool fully.
You could make something that looked like a pepperami.
Yeah.
But when you touched it, it would like be like liquid.
Too soft.
Yeah.
Too soft.
It would just turn out to be sort of like the tomatoes that they've sort of like get air dried on the outside.
Oh, that's a good show.
You'd you'd bite into it and it would just all spill down your face.
Like a Tide pod that the kids were all eating back in the day.
Are they vegan? I get through quite a few of them.
I reckon they're not. Because it would be really... do you reckon? I don't know. They're like
Everything he's got...
Everything that
in.
Dissolves. Anything that dissolves has hooves in it.
Yeah, completely.
It's mad, isn't it?
Or like fish belly stuff.
Yes.
See-through.
Fish glue.
Oh, man.
Austin Aries defeating Baron Corbin in 10 minutes and 43 seconds.
He wrestles really, really well. Mm. And it's one of those things where Austin Aries is one of those people who divides... I think, you know, he's so... it's a hard thing where his character... It's the wrong way around. His character, Austin Aries, is totally admirable and really good. The real-life Austin Aries, I find sort of strange and unsettling.
Yeah.
And if it was the other way around, you go, what a brilliant combination.
Mm.
Sort of the worst way around, where I go, yeah, I like that guy, but of course remember what he's actually like. his anti-vaxxing stuff and his anti-COVID stuff has been... You know, properly. The worst thing is, like, you know, I'm guilty of this in that I have, you know, my belief in it. But I would say my belief has been given to me, if you like, by science. His is very much what he thinks and has thought without being peer reviewed.
Yeah,
and he does treat it very much like, oh dear, still wearing the old mask, are you? And you know, it's that thing of going, that is a clever way of making me feel like I can't really come back at it by just sort of confidence.
But I would say that if, all right, mate, if you don't believe that COVID is real, Have Putin's new vaccine, the Sputnik. Because all the hard men, the Bolsonaros and Erdogans, they'll all come out with their version. It'll be like fucking vape juice. Everyone will have their version of their little
vaccine.
Their vaccine. And if you don't believe that it works, you are fundamentally anti-Slavic or anti-Brazilian. You are racially judging our scientists in a way that you would not judge your own scientists.
Hey.
But it's come out very early, hasn't it? So if you don't believe it exists, put a bit in your arm.
All I'm saying is, dude, says Austin Aries, also not keen on government-mandated vaccination.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah, okay.
So that's sort of a little bit of a get out.
So you just let that get out, right?
Yeah.
That either, right?
Doesn't like okay, any, I think he believes that COVID is a cover for mandated Bill Gates.
The microchips,
I mean, why, Pete, do I read tweets by wrestlers who are trying to lecture me about fucking COVID? I don't even read the stuff that the real scientists so
I mean, Bill Gates struggled with producing a decent workaround for the conventional memory limitations of a DOS disk so you could launch a video game back in the day. It had real problems. If you try to play Virtua Fighter on the Windows platform with the 3DFX Voodoo card, it was sometimes crashed because the memory constraints
You've
were too
got
small.
To let this go. We know you were upset at the world, Pete, but spending the last 10 years synthesizing a virus, I think is maybe a step in the wrong direction. And out comes Baron Corbin.
Mm.
Corbin always has a look about him like he's tangentially involved in rock and roll, but not really.
Yes.
So as if you'd sort of go, oh, you've got to meet like Baron. He runs that rock and roll hotel in Covent Garden.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
The one that's got like 100 kinds of pornography.
That's right. Yeah.
The Sanctum.
I've been up there upstairs. Up there, it was top, about 3 o'clock, but they hadn't even started cleaning it from the night before.
It was disgusting.
That sort of thing.
It was like the hot tub. There was a man in there. I think he was naked, and the only beers they served was a warm Iron Maiden drink.
He is, Baron.
Baron.
Oh, he's just lifted his hand. He's sort of like half done a nod of recognition.
Well, to be fair, there's him who looks like that, and then William Regal, who's all over this.
Yeah.
He looks like a man who owns a share of a boat and also tangentially hangs out with Tim Martin, boss of Wetherspoons, drinks with him. I reckon he looks like a man who drinks with him.
Willie Regan.
Hello, everyone.
In fairness, he does it on Twitter. He's always just going, one of the funniest acts you'll ever see in your life. And they're always these proper Blackpool comics. Yeah. And when you see their stuff, they're all great as well, which is the thing. But you do watch it and you do go, somewhere Tim Martin is going, we have absolutely got to book him for the Christmas do for senior management. I make that clear. It's not for the rest of them. Baron Corbin, actually, again, really impressive sort of background, you know, before he got into wrestling. He was an offensive lineman for the Indianapolis Colts and the Arizona Cardinals in the NFL. He was also a three-time Golden Gloves boxing champion.
Jesus.
So he's got really sort of legitimate. He just looks like he promotes a rock and roll energy drink. Nothing about his background is like that. There are some facts about him that make me like him. So he wears his father's wedding ring on a necklace as a tribute to him throughout all his matches.
Oh.
His dad died in 2008. He's got tattoos of his father and his grandfather on his leg.
Mm.
And he's also got tattoos which memorialise two of his close friends, Jackass star Ryan Dunn and the Jackass producer Zachary Hartwell, both of whom died in a car crash in June 2011.
Right.
So he was really, really good friends with the Jackass boys.
Ah.
There's a lot to him that I go, you seem much more interesting in real life than you are when you're in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, this NFL career, this boxing career, you know, friends with the Jackass guys, you know, a personal tragedy, the wearing of the wedding ring and the tattoos of your granddad. I sort of go, all of this is good. And,
yeah.
And he's sort of, I don't know how he's less than the sum of those parts.
Yeah.
He is, you see with this, he's been trained only by WWE. At this point, you know, he's a project because of the legitimate background he comes from. He's big as well. He's got size. They're looking at him as being a future sort of main eventer.
Mm.
And certainly he has been in main events. Would you call him a main eventer? I'm not sure. But what you see here is they're teaching him the WWE style, and he is plodding in this match. Austin Aries is so fast, so crisp, so good. His execution is incredible. He flies about. He really sells everything. And Corbin is very much sort of just plodding, and he'll get his opponent onto, you know, he'll knock him down and he'll just stare at him and walk around a bit. And that slight thing about walking to the crowd and sort of going, you think he's the best, but I'm the best. And then going over to the referee and the ref going, come on, Corbin.
Get
and him
back
going,
to it.
Why, get back you. You know, I find it really sort of like this is wrestling by numbers. Mm. It does seem to me a little bit like he didn't necessarily have this plan from day one. The Golden Gloves, the NFL.
Yeah.
Or it slightly suggests that this is very much what I have ended up with.
Yes.
And a bit like someone like Sting or even Lex Luger, you just don't have that. Bill Goldberg, you don't have that burning, ever since you were a child, you've been watching this, taking it in, and then you do it your way. Mm. It slightly is that thing where we've had to teach you from scratch and you're a bit like, sure, I can do this. I'm an athlete. But you don't have that actual
that
love
character
for
the kind of like and to know what you know which rubber bands to stretch, because if you don't stretch the rubber band they become very brittle.
Exactly, it's you know look it's painting. Anyone can be taught over a lifetime to paint the replica of the Mona Lisa. Mm. What you can't do is do your own Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
And wrestling is all about people who do their own Mona Lisas. Mm. Very much the thing that is a common phrase you'll hear often. People will say, wrestling is all about doing your Mona Lisas.
Yeah,
and people will say, I know exactly what you mean.
They'll never own works of art.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This match is good, you know. Austin Aries makes it. He does some chops which absolutely lift the flesh of Corbin's chest. And he does a roll-up at the end as well to pin him to get the 1-2-3. And the roll-up is so good that it actually looks like a proper combat move. You sort of go, yeah, that is impossible to escape from. He does it. And I don't think I've seen a better roll-up in any other match I've ever watched ever. I watched that one and I was like, that is how it should be done. Someone has finally done the roll-up right. only took nearly 2,500 years.
Yeah. The Corey Graves introduces this match, which and it reminds me of when Limmy does the sketch where he talks. It wasn't even a sketch. It was a Charlie Brooker thing on one of his yearly roundups. Mm. It was like, and he talks about Pitbull.
Yeah.
There was near Pitbull. And now Pitbull. Yes. For me, Corey Graves. There was no Corey Graves.
No.
And now there's a Corey Graves that I've got to deal with.
We are entering what I think will in later years be known as the Corey Graves years.
Right, okay.
That is how all of wrestling will be summed up from the time that Corey Graves became a commentator. He started in NXT. He had been an NXT star. He'd been a tag team champion. He was building up for a singles run, but his career was ended by concussions. Mm. And so he made a very successful transition to the commentary booth. The problem with WWE is you're on a lot.
Yeah.
And you hear people, you hear just again and again and again the same people, and you hear them on every single show.
Right.
And after 4 years of it, I mean, what is that? That must be, so there's three shows at least a week, so that's nearly 1,000 shows a year. So maybe he's done, 4,500 shows?
Mm.
You know, of course he's going to get grating and you hate him. He also, in this one, it's a really weird thing where he's not quite used to the big cameras yet, I don't think.
Right.
So normally he's just, you know, you'd wave at the start or you'd just sort of go, you wouldn't even be seen in the NXT TV show. By the time you get to TakeOver, of course, they're doing big things. He has a funny knack of when they first click the camera onto him, he just stares there like he's entirely mentally vacant. He goes, and when he speaks, you're like, oh, he's normal again. Mm. The second he starts speaking, he just goes, just stares down the barrel ends. You know, sometimes like Noel Fielding in the Mighty Boosh will,
it's not a gurn, it's just like an absence of anything going on.
I noticed him doing it quite a few times. They cut back to this. It's always fun. It's a fun thing to do is when you see commentary teams, when they're doing their piece to camera, always look at the other one. Look at the one not speaking.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love that sort of thing.
I love the ones when their lips move because they know what the other one's saying. Yeah, when they're reading it off the auto cue as well.
very, very enjoyable. It's like, you look, he looks like if Linkin Park. Just if Linkin Park. That's it. Yeah.
I sometimes think like when snakes shed their skin, it's all sort of dry and crusty. And if you sort of, I don't know, if you held that up, just held
some
it up.
Spectacles on it.
Yeah, it would start going, "Why, you're out of your mind, Vic," or whatever he says. He's been going a long time and he hasn't really got a recognisable catchphrase.
No, yeah, get
he,
on.
He should start saying "Yabadoo" or something.
Yabadoo. Yeah, that is literally Fred Flintstone.
Oh, don't use that. Definitely go for something.
Do not do that.
Hey, like a Linkin Park, your mothers. That can be used in any situation. Let's talk about a Barnstormer, shall we, Pete?
Barnstormer.
This is
replay
the match.
Sponsored by Digiorno Pizzas.
Oh, is it a pizza? I thought it was like Amaretto.
No, it's pizza.
Okay.
I mean, Amaretto's a bit fancy, isn't it?
That's what I thought. I thought it was a bit weird, but I thought it'd be the sort of thing where they're like, you know, we've got the, you know, a huge like 35 to 53.
Digiorno.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Amaretto.
I think it's like pizza you got to cook yourself.
Got ya.
Do it yourself, dickhead.
Hey, good pal of pizza. when you want something that's suggested pizza. So, another sponsor down. Nakamura versus Sami Zayn. This is one of my, I would say, top five favourite matches of all time.
You've said that a lot. Now, I'm calling you out on that because a lot of people will call you out on that.
Yeah.
And I'm in it.
I've definitely mentioned this before as being in the top five.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I think so. Watching it back, I don't think it is in there anymore. I've got to tell you, I love this match. I really love it. But I think it's one of those things of when you saw it at the time, live, the important really thing about it was what are they going to do with Shinsuke Nakamura? how are they going to do it? Is it going to be a quick squash? Yeah. Are they going to have Sami Zayn, you know, maybe even go over?
Mm.
So this is two things. This is Shinsuke Nakamura's debut and it's also Sami Zayn's final NXT match. He is going to the main roster of WWE after this. And the fans know. So you would normally, when you were leaving a territory, you would lose, of course. But is there that thing where they go, well, he's such a big star? But in WWE, we like to make sure people aren't too big for their boots.
Yeah.
So we would maybe say, why don't you lose in your first one? In a, you know, whatever. Mm. You just didn't know.
Yeah.
And actually, what they did was they brought in Shinsuke Nakamura, the biggest name in Japanese wrestling throughout the 2000s. Other people were bigger at various times, but you could say certainly there was no one as charismatic, and there was no one really who was still working over such a long period in the 2000s and remained at the level that Nakamura remained at. He has just come to NXT. The fans cannot believe it. They are absolutely beaming. One of the things that's really important about this as well is WWE had a long policy of never really referring to people who were stars outside of WWE. Mm. And what you've got with NXT is they're bringing in stars and they are not changing their gimmicks. They are just saying, come and do the thing that you do best. So Austin Aries, the greatest man that ever lived, that was a persona he'd had for years. With Shinsuke Nakamura, I think there was a feeling of people couldn't believe it when he actually arrived. Mm. It seemed so unreal that a star that big from the other side of the world would be given a run in WWE.
Yeah.
What you can see with this is they make it very big. So you have Sami Zayn. The backstory is Nakamura is coming and Sami Zayn is thrilled to be the person to get a match with him. Mm. Because they're saying he was so good for so long. I can't wait. A perfect, easy wrestling thing. You just go, it's about a matter of pride. And by Sami Zayn going, I am so excited to wrestle this guy, you're telling everyone that doesn't know who Nakamura is that the wrestlers think he's great. Mm. Fantastic. You have in the audience Scott Hall and X-Pac. Mm. So you've got legends who are just pictured very briefly at the start. It gives it big fight feel. And then you get Nakamura coming in. So Nakamura is, at this point, the most Japanese version of Nakamura that America ever gets.
Right.
So he's basically, I'll quickly take you through who he is. Mm. So he debuts in 2002 in New Japan. And he debuts with two guys who have also trained at the same time as him, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Katsuyori Shibata. Those three men are known in Japan as the Three Musketeers. They would each go on to be huge main eventers. Tanahashi certainly is the man, if you like, of the three of them who is biggest in Japan now. He's still at the top of the cards. Shibata had to retire because of a career-ending concussion that he got through using a series of headbutts. That was probably 4 years ago now, maybe 5 years.
Right.
And Nakamura was a guy who, he became a superstar before the two of them, and he maintained it throughout his career. He was into MMA as well. I think he lost his first MMA fight. Then there was a no contest where I think he ran into someone's knee. And it was all very confusing. And then he won the next three or four. He's a legitimate sort of, good sort of like MMA fighter. He was the man who in Japan, there was a period where Brock Lesnar had left WWE and they gave him the IWGP belt, the biggest belt in Japan. Mm. And Lesnar very quickly, just wanted out. He didn't really want to do it. The person they turned to was Nakamura. And this is really the period where Nakamura becomes the number one guy in Japanese wrestling. He returned after a small sort of tour he'd had as the ace. And that was the thing he became. He was a main eventer from that point on. In 2009, he became a bad guy. And that brought out a side of him that is so influential. Not just in this weird sort of like Japanese sort of trash-talking pimp sort of persona that he had, where he was cocky. He also brought in a much harder, stronger style. Mm. And that is known as strong style, where he would go in, with kicks and punches and forearms and stuff that looked genuinely bone-shatteringly sort of, real. And strong style has become a sort of legitimate, if you like, entire strand of wrestling. Mm. And that all stems from Nakamura. And what you get here is you get Nakamura, such a huge star on the other side of the world, coming into NXT in front of all these wrestling fans. And as soon as the match starts, you realize they haven't said to Nakamura, do it differently. They've said to Nakamura, be Nakamura. If any Japanese wrestler, I think, of the last probably 20, 30 years could make the move to WWE and really thrive, then it would be Shinsuke Nakamura. Ironically, he has struggled on the main roster.
Yeah.
For all sorts of reasons. One is that, you know, he's Japanese and they probably don't think he's very good at interviews and things like that. He's also been put into some high-profile matches that just haven't clicked with the wider WWE fans. But the real irony is it's the other wrestler who's on this card, which is Asuka, who is the person who has thrived best in WWE. It's just a sort of strange little surprise. What did you think of this match?
I thought I really liked the way it had that very kind of Japanese style of being quite tweaky. He was like he was on PCP or something. He was like just constantly just whipping. It just, his feet, every time he took a move, his feet would slam against the mat. It looked so loose and loose. But then when he was going, he would really fucking go on. Fuck me, like... I mean, he gets dropped on his fucking neck at one point. I was like, Jesus Christ, I thought he was done for there. But
yeah.
It was really, really impressive. But again, as I said, the Asuka and Shinsuke Nakamura performance, I was just like, this is a different kind of wrestling than anyone expects.
It is. And I think you could say that this is the closest to a New Japan sort of, if you like, main event. This is the closest to what you get in New Japan to ever happen in WWE.
Yeah.
You have Nakamura doing this incredible sort of slow build. It really takes off when they have a series where they exchange the forearms, where people are going, shit, they're letting him be Shinsuke Nakamura. Yes. It is such a funny thing with WWE. They bring these people in, they pay them money, and then quite often they say, now change everything about you. With someone like Nakamura, who was such an established star, and not for a year, not for 2 years, he'd been doing that for 16 years, you know, or 14 years by this point. It's difficult to remember what date it was, what date he started and how it worked out. So 14 years he'd been doing this at the very top of Japanese wrestling. They would end up sort of going, maybe don't do that. You know, you are paying him already.
Yeah.
You don't have, it's not like you get a discount for going use less moves.
But it's like, I guess it's like back in the day, people wouldn't have the internet. They wouldn't have access to what these wrestlers were capable of. So now, you know, Nakamura's coming in and people will have seen his matches.
Yeah,
and people will have seen his stronger style.
And people will have said, oh, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And he really proves it in this. I mean, Nakamura is important for me around this time because I've mentioned it before on some older WrestleMe's, but I saw an advert for a show with AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura taking place in Bethnal Green.
Right.
And I was like, Shinsuke Nakamura? That was the guy who, when I was into wrestling in the early 2000s, who was like, you know, the king of New Japan. What is he doing in Bethnal Green? Of course, it's York Hall, which is, you know, a famous boxing and wrestling venue. Beautiful place to watch. And I saw Nakamura. And that was one of the things, having seen that show, he was so unbelievably charismatic. One of those things that is quite rare in Japanese wrestling, because Japanese wrestling, it is about charisma. It is all about all the things that American wrestling is about.
Yeah.
But at the heart of it, it's about legitimate sports, if you like. You have to make it look as legitimate as possible. Strong style helped him with that. But Shinsuke Nakamura was, I would say, three times more charismatic than the next most charismatic man in that room. And that man was AJ Styles. You know, so you could just, he was immediately, even though you didn't know who he was, my wife didn't know who Shinsuke Nakamura was, hasn't really ever watched Japanese wrestling. She was the biggest fan of him after watching that match, just going, he's unlike anything I've ever seen. She was like, he's like something from a sort of like Japanese horror. He's like something that's come out of a bottle
the
from
way
a well.
Moves out, and the way, even the to be honest, terribly filmed little VT of him going, Sammy Zayn, I'll see you in Dallas. It's just kind of drunk, man. It's like a drunk man, you see in the street, I'm going to fucking kill you. Yeah.
It's that
kind of slow
that great
delivery
thing that he brings over as well, where you go, is this what's called in Japan? I don't know. There's loads of sort of like the way he moves and stuff. You're a bit like, is this something I should know about? I don't know. You're constantly on the back foot with it. He moves unlike anyone else. Again, wrestling can be a bit like dance. And when you get someone who comes in doing it entirely differently from somebody else, you just go, that guy sticks out. I hope he dances with me. Get a knee in
him
the head.
And Fandango together at last.
And I mean, this the best bit, the bit where it just sort of goes stratospheric is Zayn has hit Nakamura in the nose, and I think Nakamura's got a broken nose. And what this period is, they've been told, of course, you can't have blood. We'll see that in the main event.
And I think actually, is it like where they are as well, like the blood, like Some states still allow blood. Maybe it's the patron one we're going to be coming on to pretty soon.
We'll be talking about the
Maryland
Athletic Commission, who are still going after all these years. They're still finding people. It's amazing. But no, I mean, in Texas, you were allowed to have a blood bath if you wanted. But at the time, WWE were presenting PG, era TV. They didn't want blood. And what happens here is as the blood is hitting, Nakamura suddenly turns to Zayn, who is lying on the bottom right, and just begins kicking him in the head. And it looks absolutely devastating. The crowd go absolutely insanely mad, and he stamps on his head, and he just walks off. And what he's doing there is not just being a shit. He's not being a fucking horrible man. What he's doing is he's giving Sami Zayn a reason to be lying on the floor while he goes and has his nose checked.
Yeah.
It's just that sort of level of... Everything has a meaning. Every move leads to a thing. What you get in this is very much an anti-WWE match. It's very much a New Japan match where one move leads to another. You almost can take it in turns and it will build and build and build and build. And that's exactly what this match does. It builds and builds and builds and builds. The thing that's not always talked about in this match is how amazing Sami Zayn is. He's not just sort of an essential part of the match by being the other person. I would say he could be the better performer on the night watching this back. He works his arse off. He mirrors Nakamura in places as well, which is just...
Well, in the training blows.
in the forearms, there's a kick section they do. And it's impossible not... Sami Zayn's NXT run was so good, it was impossible not to root for him.
Yeah.
And even against Nakamura, who seems like this unknowable, frightening elemental who has come out. And his finishing move might be like just opening his mouth and it just keeping on going. Like strands coming from the inside and sort of like spilling out into inky darkness. I don't know. But... Sami Zayn, there's a little bit where Nakamura goes for his running knee finisher. Mm. The WWE call that the Kinshasa knee. It was formerly called the Bombay Air, which is, again, wrestling odd history. Antonio Inoki, the most sort of the Hulk Hogan of New Japan, also the Vince McMahon of New Japan. He was the owner and the promoter. Mm. He had a match against Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
So there's always this sort of, when they used to chant in the Rumble in the Jungle, Ali, Bombay Air, Ali, Bombay Air. That was why it was the Bombay Air.
Right.
It then became the Kinshasa because the Rumble in the Jungle took place, I believe, in Kinshasa. Strange sort of things the WWE go, we can't call it the Bombay Air.
No.
But we'll look and see where that took place and we'll name it after the city. Strange little bit. Sami Zayn does his finishing move, a blue thunderbomb, which is a sort of power bomb. And the pop-up on the last, not even, I mean, they get the two count.
Yeah.
Not even, you couldn't say it was like the last second. It is... I mean, the heat of the canvas must have touched the underside of the ref's hand before Nakamura comes out. And again, what you're seeing there is not just sort of cheap pop. You're seeing someone who has complete precision. Mastery of the timing, of understanding the moment to do it so that it gets the maximum response from the audience.
He wouldn't break someone's nose, would he?
Damn right. And the thing about the match I did really forget about is there is nothing flashy in it. It is just solid logic. Two people going, we will keep hitting each other until this ends and one of us has won. Both guys come out of it bigger stars than they were going in.
Yeah.
And for Shinsuke Nakamura, for that debut match in America to be that good, you were like, this is going to be something so thrilling. I could barely speak about how excited I was. At the time, a lot of people were like, fucking get Nakamura onto WrestleMania 32 now. I know he's done that. Put him on now. He will be the biggest star on the card. One of the greatest debut matches in WWE history.
It never happens like this. They always waste it at weird times. And if this had gone badly, you'd be like, why didn't they just put him on a main, why didn't they put him on the main product?
Why waste him on this, Instead, they put him, he's such a big star, they put him in NXT. That was huge for NXT.
Yeah.
It meant that there were people like Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. You were having matches that were like dream matches.
Right.
And you knew because it was in NXT, they'd get time and they wouldn't be diluted.
Yeah.
What happens when Nakamura goes to the main roster? It's the same old story. It's they respect him, clearly, the WWE. They aren't going to, because he's always got the option to go back to Japan. Mm. He's always got that option. Mm. The reality is, it doesn't seem like he's that bothered. He's he's in his mid-40s now.
Yeah.
He lives in Orlando. He is a huge surfer. He likes going surfing.
Oh, right.
And so he's got a nice income. He doesn't have to do the Japan matches where you've got your head injured, you know, and every time you stepped in the ring, you had to do 30 minutes and, you know, there was every chance that your, you know, retinas would become detached or your back would be broken. You just get to team up with Cesaro, roll around the ring, you know, occasionally point. It's something I really liked in May 2014, so 2 years before this. He was featured in Pharrell Williams' Happy video, but only the Japan version.
Oh, he's right. In that, they do that. A lot of that and you never hear about
it. Never hear it.
There's a re-release of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. And one thing that a lot of people don't know about the original Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, or maybe just 1, they released a special version only in Korea featuring... where you could play as some of these skateboarders, a K-pop artist, basically a group of K-pop girls. Uh-huh. You could basically skateboard around as one of them.
Got you.
And it was something we never heard about. We never heard about that. There was a secret version of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater where you'd have your lag wagons and you'd have your mad caddies and you'd have your music from Mill and Colin and I don't know, Rage Against the Machine. But then you'd have three emotional bangers from a very unlovable K-pop act. An extension of the soft power of Korea, so to speak.
Charming.
Yeah.
Man. This is one of the best WWE matches that they put on in the modern era. Mm. It's certainly one of the best Shinsuke Nakamura matches that you'll see, you know, from his later part of that career. Yeah. It was the perfect swan song for Sami Zayn. And it's horrible. I do find it horrible. You watch a match like that, and at the time, I loved it so much. And I loved it because I thought, the unlimited potential that these two have, this is just the start of something incredible. And I watch it now and I go, how did, you know, 4 years later, how are those two guys still so good, still so likable, and just, they haven't come close to having a match like this, either of them, in 4 years. You know, they should be doing this on a routine basis. And I feel sorry. For them. You know, look.
Tsumuzukashi, as the Japanese say. Difficult.
I compare it to XFM and Capital Radio. Right? Loved XFM. Did my best work there. Yeah. Went to Capital. Got paid much, much more. Very simple. If someone had said to me, would you stay at Capital or go back to XFM? I think I would have said, well, I'm really liking Capital. I don't blame them for a second.
You got put back in NXT, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we kept our Capital wages, which was good. That was very much someone else's agent doing a very, very good job. But yeah, it's. I think that's the reason why watching it this time around, I was like, this is a phenomenal match, but I didn't feel the same emotional
connection
as I did when I was like, this is just the start of something beautiful. It was the start of life in the mid-card at best. Shocking stuff.
Well, we'll round it off there. I think we'll be back next week on the main feed.
Yeah.
The main RSS, so to speak.
It's going to be the last episode of NXT's TakeOver Dallas next week. Yep. And then we're going to go straight into WrestleMania 32.
Barrel straight in, if you don't mind. If you want to see what happens or hear what happens rather right now, don't worry, you can listen right now. Patreon.com/WrestleMe. You've got the newsletter up there. You've got extra shows. One extra show every week. We are currently doing what we're currently doing.
Great American Bash 1991.
Oh, my days. It's a special that I enjoyed so much. I wanted to watch the actual show twice because it was so jam-packed with bullshit and things going wrong and things being shit.
This has been a really nice combination. So we've recorded the Great American Bash at the same time as we've been doing NXT TakeOver. And the beauty of that is one is just really, really good wrestling.
Yes.
And the other is all the things that are about wrestling that are terrible that we love.
It is a perfect sandwich.
Could not be better.
Beautiful.
Perfect. All right then, everyone. Well, right. Look, until next time, love you, stay safe, take care, and don't sign with WWE if you want to continue having 5-star matches and you're Japanese. Wrestle all right, me. Then. Respect. Wrestle me. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.